loves it. Okay, it's changed a lot of things for her, what she does in the kitchen. Maybe it has. Maybe guys, you've had a friend say, "Hey, you've got to get this tool. It, you know, it's helped me tremendously. You know, around the house, you know, building stuff, you know, whatever, tearing down stuff. You've got to get it." You know, I was in Thailand several years ago on a church mission trip, and I remember Brother Matt Jones, who you all love. We were with him, and he told us, "You all have to try a Thai massage." Now remember, when someone says you have to do it, you don't have to do it, okay? So I remember that now after this. But Brother Matt said, you gotta try this Thai massage. And so they're known for being very, very rough. Well, the guy that I had, let me tell you, he was very, very rough. And let me tell you tonight, you don't have to have a Thai massage, okay? You don't have to do that. Now, Brother Mark, whatever, he didn't mind it. Other people didn't mind it, but I don't know what it was, but it was extremely rough and extremely painful. So that was something that I was told I had to have. That I didn't have to have. No, then other things in life that people said, "You've got to get this, Nate, or you should get this." And I've got to, I thought, man, that was a good idea. That was, appreciate that. And I think we've all had that in our lives. Wisdom is something in the Word of God that we understand we have to have. We can't live without it. We cannot live without wisdom in God's Word. And so I know Pastor's been going on Sunday nights, going through the book of Proverbs, doing a series at this time in the family. We're going to do just an overview, a brief overview on wisdom in the Bible here. And so in 1 Kings chapter 3, if you have your Bibles there, we have a story of the wisest man that ever lived. Now, I want to be moving around our scriptures, so you're going to have to follow me tonight. We'll be moving around different passages. But we're going to look at Solomon. So 1 Samuel chapter 3, look at verse number 3. We'll start there. "And Solomon loved the Lord." Great place to start for Solomon, the son of David, "walking in the statutes of David, his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" You know, isn't that neat? I mean, to have an opportunity to say, "Hey, you just ask what you want, and I'll give it to you." I'm sure if you read this passage before in your devotions, or if you read it, you know, just, you know, maybe for a class or something, you read through this and thought, if I had anything, I could ask for one thing, what would it be, you know? Well, Solomon had that opportunity, maybe the opportunity that many people in this world wish they had. Verse number 6, "And Solomon said, 'Thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him for this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of the people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted from multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I might discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, if you remember the story, remember he asked for an understanding heart to judge the people, to discern, to know between good and between evil. And because God is so pleased, he says, you know what? Most normal people, okay, normal fleshly people would say, "Hey, give me money, okay? Give me money. Or give me power. I want power." But Solomon, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you the other things that people ask for. Your kingdom is going to be so wealthy. It's going to be the richest kingdom that Israel ever has. Before and afterwards, you'll be the richest king. Solomon, you'll be the most powerful king that Israel ever has because you asked for wisdom. Did you ever think about that? Even in that situation there, before Solomon asked for wisdom, he displays wisdom in his life. He says, "No, money's not worth it. You know, power, no, that's not worth it. I want wisdom. I want to know how to deal with people. I'm but a child." I want you to see here tonight, we're going to look at this with wisdom, three things about wisdom. We want to understand about wisdom. First of all, understanding the great worth of wisdom. Understanding the great worth of wisdom. You know, you make wise choices and all the time. All of us are supposed to make wise choices, whether you're a teenager or whether you're an adult or whether you're a child listening today. Every one of us here is told by God to make wise decisions. fact, the Bible says even a child, okay, is known by his doings, okay? Whether his works be right or, you know, pure, good or bad, right? If there be good or bad. So even children need to have wisdom at a young age. Solomon says here, I want to have an understanding heart. He doesn't say give me wisdom necessarily right here. He says give me an understanding heart. Now, this is what the word understanding heart in Hebrew literally means, the word understanding. It means give me a heart that hears, a heart that listens, and then a heart that obeys. A heart that hears what you have to say, so I'm not just, you know, going throughout my day and you're trying to talk to me, but I'm not listening to you. A heart that hears you, first of all. A heart that stops and is attentive and listens to your voice. And then a heart that obeys your voice. He says, that's what I want for wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? Talking about wisdom today, if you were to take a definition and talk to somebody and say, hey, they're asking, hey, what is wisdom? Here's what wisdom is. It's thinking and it's acting the way that God would. It's making the choices that God would. In every single situation that comes up in our life, it's saying, hey, this is what God would do. We are told to act like the Lord Jesus Christ, right, as believers. There's so many different opinions. There's so many different circles in our Christian world. You know, it really is. There's so many different opinions. If you don't believe me, just talk about the opinions of coronavirus, different things. You know, there's just so many different opinions. We need wisdom as believers like never before to know, hey, what is God's matter on these issues? You know, there's no issue too small that we have to say, well, that's too small of an issue, so I can't talk to God about wisdom. It's very important as we go through this lesson today to understand that there's nothing too small that God says, hey, you can't ask me wisdom about this. You know, Proverbs 16:16 says this, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. So he said, it's so much better to get wisdom than gold or to get silver. I mean, those are valuable things, especially nowadays. If you have gold and you have silver right now, those precious minerals, well, those are important right now because they're valuable. Okay, it's not just a piece of paper. It's something that allows you to have wealth. Proverbs 8:11 goes even further when it comes to the value of wisdom. For it is better than rubies, talking about wisdom, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. Nothing that you can try to compare with the wisdom, if you get a giant scale out here and you say you got wisdom here, and then you put every other thought in your mind. Okay, he starts with rubies here and says, hey, rubies are very valuable. In fact, in science class this past week, we were talking about rubies, precious minerals. And we found out that the minerals, okay, a gram of a ruby, just a little gram, is worth $56. Okay, that's crazy, just a gram there. I mean, it's one of the most precious minerals in the world. But you know what? The ruby can't compare with wisdom. And Solomon says, okay, rubies can't compare, and then anything else you can put in there, it doesn't touch the value of wisdom. It's important to understand that. Nothing you get. So he says over and over again in the book of Proverbs, he says, get wisdom. Get wisdom, get understanding, get it. Do what you can. Remember, Proverbs is written to his son, Rehoboam. He wants his son, Rehoboam, to understand the importance of getting wisdom and understand this is the principal thing. In fact, Proverbs 4:7, he says this, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is critical for our families today. The way we guide our families, the way we lead our families, we need wisdom to know, hey, what situation we're in, what choices should I make in order to lead my family the right way? It's critical for finances today. Making choices financially, we want God's mind in the matter, and so we want to have wisdom in how we're to use the money that God gives us. Wisdom is critical for our future. we don't know what's going to happen, but we have to have wisdom and say, Lord, please give us your mind on what's going to happen and how we should respond during these times. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, Solomon says, hey, give me an understanding heart to judge the people. And then he uses the word, he says, that I may discern between good and evil. That I may know between that which is actually good, that which is bad. I don't know. There's so many people. I'm like a child. I just want to know what is right and what is wrong. Isn't that true? If we were to ask all the believers of today and take a raise of hand, those by way of virtual church here, hey, how many of you want to know what is right? You know, the hands would go up everywhere. Yes, we all want to know what's right. We want to do what's right. We want to be able to discern. But the truth is, we're not perfect, okay? We need wisdom. We need wisdom, and we need to understand that if we don't have wisdom, we can be wrong about some very important areas in our life. And so that's why wisdom is critical. 1 Kings 4:30 says this, "And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt." The wisdom of Solomon was greater than all the other countries around. He was the wisest man, not only in Israel, but he was the wisest man in all the world. And not only the wisest man in all the world, he was the wisest man of all time. Okay, he was the wisest man of all time. God said, you will. Okay, you'll be the wisest man. And God blessed him because he said, hey, wisdom is valuable. You know, he said, hey, yeah, wealth, that's important. Hey, power as a king, that's important. But wisdom, that is the greatest thing that can happen. He told his son, hey, that is the principal thing. The word principal there means, it means the chief. It means the best. It means the beginning or the first thing. That is the most important thing for us to understand as believers. We've got to ask for wisdom. Why? Because wisdom affects every other area of our life. Every other area, if we don't have wisdom. You know, wisdom is valuable also because Proverbs 3:13 tells us this. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now, this is the same exact word the psalmist used in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That whole section, those verses there, is talking about a man that's happy because he's doing what God wants him to do. He's talking about wisdom in Psalm 1. And in Proverbs 3, he's saying, happy is the man, or blessed is the man, who has wisdom and gets understanding. You know, most people don't associate wisdom necessarily with happiness, but God promises the person that has wisdom, they will have happiness. Again, the whole book of Proverbs is about Solomon giving his son the wisdom that he has learned, and then saying to his son, Rehoboam, hey, now you have to make the choice for yourself. You have to decide whether you're going to choose to love wisdom above anything else and value it, or you can choose to devalue it. I heard the story of a lady in France many years ago. She was moving from her house in France. She's about 90 years old, and she got an auctioneer to come in and to appraise the belongings that were left. And so she brought the auctioneer in, and as they were going through, he saw a painting above the stove there. The stove there, in fact, in France, they call it a hot pot there. So right above the hot pot. And so he looked at it, and he couldn't believe it. And he looked at the painting, and he told the lady, he said, this is actually a very valuable painting. She said, oh, really? In fact, one of the articles I was reading said she was actually thinking about throwing it away. She was going through all her stuff. She thought it was a Russian icon. You know, she thought it was faded away. And so the appraiser said, do you mind if I appraise it for you, whatever? And so he appraised it, and it appraised at $26.8 million. It was sitting right above her hot pot there, just sitting there for several years. In fact, it was a masterpiece that was lost in art, known as, it was a part of a series. And it was by the famous artist Simba, which was a very, very famous French artist. And it was part of a collection that depicted Christ's crucifixion. It was called Christ Mocked. And people have been looking for it. They've been looking for it. She had no idea what it was. It was there in a kitchen. And she was even thinking about throwing it away. But it was valuable. It was valuable. But she didn't place value on it because she didn't know the value of it. Believers, we know the value of wisdom. Okay, the Bible has told us it's better than any kind of precious mineral in the world. It's better than anything else in this world that we would get wisdom. Again, if you read the Proverbs over and over again, Rehoboam says to his son, hey, get wisdom, get wisdom, get wisdom. Hey, there's a worth. Understand, my son, the worth of wisdom. You know, as parents, you would probably say the same thing to your kids over again. Hey, got to make wise choices. Got to make wise choices. Why do you say that as parents? Because you know. You understand. You want them to make choices that are going to help them in their life. They're going to help them be closer to God. Help choices that will help them grow and be able to help others be closer to God. So wisdom, its worth is greater than anything else. So first of all, you've got to understand the value of wisdom. Okay, you've got to have wisdom. But in order to get that mindset, I've got to have wisdom, I've got to have it, you've got to understand the value. Now, second of all, I want you to see, you've got to understand the way to get wisdom. The way to get wisdom. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to look here at Proverbs and see the way to get wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 11 through 13. Proverbs 11 through 13. I'll give you a moment there to get there. This is, again, Solomon talking to Rehoboam as a father. All throughout Proverbs, you can hear the earnestness. I mean, if you could hear his voice, how earnest Solomon is to his son. Hey, you've got to have wisdom. Verse number 11. He says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Hey, if you just follow my path, Rehoboam, I've not only taught thee, but I have led thee. Just follow my path. Verse 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Verse 13, take hold fast of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Hey, wisdom is thy life. Again, alluding back to the value, the worth of wisdom. He says, hey, here's what you're going to do. Take hold fast of instruction. The word instruction there, teaching, doctrine. Take hold fast of the things that I'm teaching here. How do you get wisdom? What is the way to wisdom? You have got to have teaching. You've got to have instruction, and you need to listen to that instruction. First of all, this evening, what is the source of our instruction as believers? The source of our instruction is God, right? It's God Almighty. It's His Word. It's His precepts. The Bible says in Proverbs 2:7, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The source of wisdom is God. Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word, right? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. These are verses. The word of God is what gives us wisdom to hate sin, to not want to be a part of that. The source of all wisdom is God Almighty. Now, what about the start of wisdom, though? What about the start of wisdom in our lives? Well, the start of wisdom starts, actually, Solomon tells us several times throughout the Proverbs where the start of wisdom comes from. It's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 19:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning or the start of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So notice, the fear you ought to have is not of other things, okay? We don't want to have fear of other things, situations of our life, in our life. The fear is very, very clear. The fear ought to be the fear of the Lord. Now, this word here, the idea of this Hebrew word is the idea of terror. If you look up this Hebrew word and you were to look at it right away, the meaning you would see right away, the first meaning is terror. Not respect, not reverence here, but a terror of the Lord. Why? Because there has got to be a mindset that one day as believers, right, and unbelievers, we're going to stand before a holy God. A holy God. And we have a fear because of God's holiness. We're very timid in that sense of we don't want to do what's wrong against God. We want to have that mindset. There ought to be a fear of the Lord here. Now, what does that look like? It's questions like this that should come to your mind, young people and adults. Is this, what I'm about to do, is it going to hurt my relationship with God? There ought to be a fear there. If I do this thing, if I make this decision, is it going to hurt my relationship with God? Because I have a fear, I have a healthy fear that I don't want to hurt my relationship with God. I don't want him chasing me. I don't want him going after me. I want a good relationship with God. That's wisdom. How about this question? Is there something that is going to, is this something that's going to please or displease God? Is this something, if I make this decision, is this going to anger God or is this going to please him? That's a thought of wisdom. How about this? Is this choice something that I'm going to have to answer to God for later? I'm going to have to answer for this decision that I'm making in my life, later in my life. We want to make good decisions. It's not a fear of what my spouse will think. What my spouse think. And we've all been there before. Or what about what my parents think, teenagers or children? I'm just afraid what mom and dad would say if I did this. Or a fear of what other people say. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso put his trust in the Lord shall be safe. It's not talking about a fear of man. It's not talking about a fear of mom or dad or friends. It's talking about a fear of the Lord. Remember Joseph in the Bible, right? He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know what he had? He had a healthy fear of God. Even in Egypt, miles away from, 100 miles, hundreds of miles away from his family, away from the religion there of the Israelites, you know what? He understood, my God is still here in Egypt, and I cannot sin against my holy God. I've got to fear because I know my God's holy. I know he's perfect. I understood. The Bible tells us this in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There ought to be the word of God dwelling in your heart. And there ought to be wisdom that's dwelling in you richly, the Bible says, in all wisdom. Now I want you to see also the supply of wisdom. What is the supply of wisdom the Bible talks about throughout the scriptures? We've got a supply there. Obviously, we know the source is God. We do understand that, but there's a supply there. James chapter 1 tells us about the supply. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So he starts off in verse number 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, you know who you can go to? You can go to God. He's the supply. You go to God. What is the supply? The supply for believers to get wisdom is prayer. It's prayer. It's going to God in prayer, and it's asking God on a daily basis, Lord, give me wisdom. James tells us here we have an unlimited supply. Ask of God. He'll give it to you liberally. The idea of liberally is he'll give it to you over and over again, continually. He'll give you wisdom for every single day, every single situation, every single hardship. You can't out-ask God, okay? He wants you to ask for wisdom. So ask for wisdom. He says it never runs out. Come back to God over and over again. Also says God never gets mad at us, okay? Gets after us for coming over and over again to him. The word abradeth is not a word we use a lot today, but it means to chide, to get after us. He does not get after us over and over again to say, oh, you just asked me for wisdom yesterday. But you just asked me for wisdom, you know, 10 minutes ago. No, God wants you young people, adults, children alike, to ask for wisdom. You know, if God's wisdom is, he doesn't abrade us, and his wisdom is unlimited, don't you think that his wisdom should not go unused? Well, what a waste. The wisdom of God, we have the access, we have a fire hydrant of God's wisdom at our moment's disposal in prayer, and yet we walk away many times and we don't ask God for the wisdom and the situation that we're going through in life. You know, throughout the scriptures, the Bible and Proverbs in particular is personified as a woman who's calling out for people there to come to her and to listen to her. You know, God is calling for us as believers to come, to get wisdom. Hey, if any man lack wisdom, anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God, right? Ask of God, and God will give to you abundantly, okay? Unconditionally, unlimited, right? Unlimited, and we should use that supply up. I want to see also the strategy here. The strategy of how to do this, how to go to the way of wisdom. Well, the strategy here in Proverbs, one of the strategies he gives is pursuit of godly counselors. The pursuit of godly counselors. Proverbs 11:14 says this, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There's safety. You know, son, Rehoboam, I want you to listen. And there's the pursuit here, okay? The pursuit of godly counselors. Get people that love the Lord around you. Get people who have a heart for the things of God around you and listen to their counsel. Listen to their advice. You know, there's a lot of people I found in this world that love to give counsel. There's a lot of people in this world that love to give advice. I mean, they'll give you their 2 cents. In fact, they'll give you more than their 2 cents if you ask them. And the reason why is because a lot of times people like to hear themselves talk. They do. And sometimes as Christians, we can be guilty of that. But can I just tell you, when we come to God, God never wastes a word. He never wastes any words. Every word that he gives us is good counsel. Now, some of you can understand, too, if you've had a good counselor who's given you good wisdom over time, you can say, well, that was good counsel. They give me exactly what I needed to hear. Notice I said what you needed to hear. There's a lot of times with those things I've been counseled by people and I thought, maybe I shouldn't ask this person. Maybe I shouldn't call this person. I've called them up asking for counsel and they told me what I thought they were going to say, but not what I wanted to hear, you know? And I understood, you know what? I want to listen to that counsel. And most of the time in my life, I can look back, I listened to that godly counsel. Why? Because I wanted to go the way of wisdom. I wanted godly counsel. Do you remember Rehoboam in the Bible? Remember this is the one we're talking about? He had an opportunity to get godly counsel. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 16. Let's see if he chooses the way of his father there. Just give me a moment there to get there. Okay, I said 1 Kings 16. I'm not quite sure what that one is. Sorry, just give me a moment here. If you find it before me, shout it out. 1 Kings 12. Sorry there, just for a moment. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse number 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. That they called and they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, now here is the counsel, okay? Thy father made our yokes grievous. Now therefore make thou thy grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. Hey, your father was hard on us. He was tough on us. So, hey, Rehoboam, can you be lighter on us? Verse 5. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? So the people had come to him. They said, this is what we want to do. Now the older counselors, these are the counselors here. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. Okay, his friends, peer pressure. And he said to them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke, my father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So he had an opportunity there, right? He had an opportunity. This is Rehoboam. We're talking about the one who had advice from his father right here of getting good counsel. He decided, okay, Israelites came, said, we'll help you. Just make the burdens lighter. Your father really had made it hard on us. And so he does. He makes a good decision. He asks the older people there, the older counselors, and they say, hey, you know, make the right decision. Make it lighter. You know, make it lighter. He says, I don't like it, right? I don't like that decision there. So he goes with what he wants to hear, okay, what he wants to do in power. And his young men, the ones that have influence in his life, he says, yeah, I'm going to do that. Now, again, your counsel that you hear in life and the counsel that's right is a lot of times not the counsel you want to hear. It's not the counsel you want to hear. You're talking about teenagers that are making decisions in their lives. Sometimes it's like, hey, Pastor Nate, I really think this is something God wants me to do. And I'm talking with them because of the situation, I can see lots of red flags coming up, you know, lots of red flags. Of course, when you're talking with someone and counseling them, you're not like, no, that's a stupid idea. No, that's dumb. that would never work. You know, you just say, hey, you know what? Let's just talk through this biblically, and let's work through this. Okay, now, have you prayed about this? No, I haven't prayed about it. Okay, are your parents on board? No, they don't really know about it yet. Okay, so let's work with these simple details first. First of all, you know, I want to give you some counsel that you need to check with your parents first, okay? Oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. And you probably should check to see if this is something that, as a believer, okay, what you want to do, is it something God would be all right with you doing as a Christian? Yeah, that's probably good, you know. And you go through these things, just simple things. But I can't tell you how many times I've told kids this, and they're like, yeah, I understand that, but I still want to do it. It's what I want to do. You know, if you, counsel is only as good for the person that actually listens to it, okay? You can counsel somebody all day, but that person has to make a decision to listen. That's what's happening with Solomon. Solomon is giving, I mean, the wisest man that ever lived is just giving, a fire hydrant of wisdom to his son, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam decides right off the bat, you know what? I'm not gonna follow the wisdom of my father there that God has given him. You know what? I'm just going to destroy the kingdom. And that's not what he wanted to do. He didn't want to wreck the kingdom. He didn't want to have a divided kingdom his whole time. But that's exactly what happened because he did not choose wisdom. The way to wisdom is to listen to godly counsel, godly advice. It's to follow the precepts, the truths of God's word. I want you to find number three tonight. Number three, we understand the worth of wisdom tonight. I hope we understand that. I hope we understand the way of wisdom, okay? There's a source of wisdom. We understand going through that. But we also understand the wreckage that will come from living apart from wisdom. We understand the wreckage that will come from living apart from wisdom. If you do not fear the Lord, okay? If you do not fear the Lord now, you will fear the Lord later. There will be a fear of regret. There will be a fear of having to come before a holy God and admitting that you have chosen a life apart from wisdom. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And I want you to see here that we are given a clear picture of someone here in Proverbs 20. This is again, Solomon telling Rehoboam, hey, here is the issue. You've got to get wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She's crying out. I mean, she's calling. Listen to wisdom. She crieth in the chief places of concourse. In the opening of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and when none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Verse 31, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. You know, it's just a sad thing as you look at the wreckage here, the mindset, you know what? That if you go away from wisdom, it's complete destruction here. Complete. Proverbs 1, verse 27 in this passage says, when your fear cometh as a desolation, the word there, desolation, means a devastating storm. When your fear comes like a storm upon you suddenly, and then your destruction as a whirlwind or a wind in the middle of a storm, when it comes upon you, it'll be too late. Now he's talking to three different groups here, right? He talks about the simple ones. He says, how long will you love simplicity? Okay, again, it's their fault, the simplicity. They're not simple because they don't have the instruction. They're simple because they don't listen to the instruction, the wisdom. They've been given the instruction. He says, scorners, how long will you delight in your scornings? How long will you delight in going away from God, turning your back on God, and going against what you know to be right? Then he says, fools. Okay, you that are fools are again, going against the word of God. How long will you hate knowledge? You'll despise what is actually correct. Someone, again, who's been given all the answers, and still says, you know what, I'm not going to follow God. He said, you know what, a storm is going to come on you. No, storms, we know they can come quickly. Storms come very quickly. Storms can come unexpectedly. And storms can destroy completely. He says, fear is going to come upon you like a storm. I remember I was a freshman in college in 2004 when Hurricane Ivan came through. I was a little freshman. I didn't know much about college life. I was there for 2 weeks. Can you imagine this? 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, Hurricane Ivan came through. We all got into the buildings that we had to get into. And I mean, we heard it was a crazy large hurricane. I was from New Hampshire. I didn't even know what a hurricane was, you know, so, you know, except for my science books. And so, you know, we got there huddled together. We could hear the wind. In fact, a couple times I went out and snuck and looked by the doors that were glass, and I could see the trees bending over. Man, it was crazy, the wind. Well, the next day we went out, and it was just complete destruction throughout Pensacola. We went out, and as college students there, we were told to go out in the community and help out folks. And I remember walking through Pensacola and seeing trees just broken in half. I mean, it was just crazy. I mean, you see tree branches everywhere, huge tree branches, in middle of the road. Cars couldn't get by. I mean, it was just devastation everywhere. Houses with holes in it, shingles everywhere. I mean, you just looked, and it was like, wow, that just happened just overnight, just like that. And just changed the whole look. In fact, the whole look of Pensacola changed. If people back there remember that, it changed for about a year or two. I mean, the whole look of Pensacola, because it took that much time to be able to get back and to fix the houses and stuff like that. The storm came quickly. You know, one of the saddest things as a youth pastor is to see a storm come into a young person's life that you've counseled before, or you've talked to them, maybe even an adult, you've talked to about the Word of God and said, hey, this is something that you've got to get right in your life. You've got to make this decision, and you've got to follow God's plan, because you're going to ruin the life that God has given you. And the young person to say, nah. And then a storm comes in their life, and man, everything falls apart. And the individual is like, I don't know what happened. It's like, you didn't make wise choices. You didn't make right choices. You didn't make the right choices. I don't understand why my life is so hard. I don't understand how I got here. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor. Okay, good understanding, good wisdom gives favor. But the way of the transgressor is hard. Man, if I was to tell young people a verse over and over again, it's this verse. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard road to go away from God and to go down a road of rebellion, to go down a road of I know what's better, and making those poor decisions and understanding when you get back, you know what? This hurts. This is a hard road. Poor choices can change your whole life. As he goes through Proverbs, you know, Solomon is going through a list of topics. He's talking about immorality to his son. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. He's saying, stay away from that strange woman, right? Be faithful to the one woman of your life. He's saying, be careful. Solomon knew about that, right? It can affect us. He talks about drunkenness in Proverbs. He talks about the need to stay away from alcohol, that wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. He's trying to give wisdom in that the idea of alcohol. Don't play games with it. He talks about destroyed homes. He talks about laziness. Look at the slothful one. He talks about anger and bitterness and depression and pride. He talks about treating parents wrong and broken families in this book of Proverbs and all these things. He's saying these poor choices in your life will lead either to blessings from God because you chose wisdom, or it'll lead to destruction. Now, sin will deceive. Sin will delight for a time, but sin will eventually destroy and kill, as the Bible says. When I was younger, I remember sitting with a good friend of mine and letting him know that the choices he was making was destroying his life. I remember sitting down and saying, hey, you're making some wrong choices. And not that I was better than him in any way, but I was burdened that he was making some very clear choices that were against the Bible. And I said, I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. I just know that God has the answers. And you need to take God's word and line it up with what you're doing and see where you're going wrong. You know, I was young, very young at the time. The person at the time said, nah, basically, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'll make my own choices. You know, all of you have people in your life that you've spoken to like that. Maybe you've had opportunity, you share truth with them, and you say, hey, I want you to make right choices. And they say, no, I'm not going to listen. Man, it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart to see them going down a path that's going to wreck and ruin their life, knowing the whole time they don't have to go down that path. You know, what's interesting about this young man is it's years later. You know, this young man, if you were to ask him, he'd say, no, I'm good. I'm totally fine. My life is good. I made the right choices. I'm totally good. But if you were to look at his life and be able to see snapshots along the way, you say, wow, his life is a wreck. But you know what? It's crazy. It's a scorner, the fool, the simple one, doesn't see sometimes the wreck in their life. They're content to live in their sin. You know, things may look good in their eyes, but the Bible is very clear in the time where they'll stand before God to understand, wow, what I've done is wasted my life. In fact, the Bible tells us, let not your heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord, right? Fear the Lord all the day long. You know, James has been said many times to be the Proverbs of the New Testament. The Proverbs of the New Testament, it's a book that has wisdom. It gives counsel to us as believers. And in James chapter 3, we see that there is a bad wisdom. There's a wisdom that's earthly, that's sensual, that's devilish. A wisdom that will destroy. That's the wisdom of Satan. I mean, it's the wisdom of this world. And we don't want to go down that path. Proverbs 4:14-15, Solomon says these words. He says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." He's saying adults, young people, children are like, just say no to sin and go the other way. That's wisdom. I tell our teenagers, I tell them all the time, you know, what about this thing? What about this sin? It's hard, Pastor. It's really hard. You got to say no. First step is saying, hey, God wouldn't please this. Just say no and get in the Word of God. Say no and get into the Word of God. Now, more than ever before, in our churches today, in our country, we need wisdom. Okay, we need wisdom. If any of us lack wisdom, we do. We have the source of God Almighty, that fire hydrant of wisdom. We can go to Him in our decisions. Lord, I need wisdom. We need wisdom in the things that we put on Facebook. We need wisdom in the things that we say to our family members and the words that we say and how we say it. We need wisdom. We need wisdom in the way that we approach the lost people around us. We need wisdom in how we approach even this virus as a church family. We need wisdom. We want God's mind on the matter. We don't want Satan to get in. We don't want earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom coming in to our church. We want wisdom that is from above, that is pure, that is peaceable, that is gentle, that is easy to be entreated, as James says. That's the kind of wisdom that we need as a church family. Let me ask you this today. Do you have it? You got to have it, okay? You got to have wisdom. The wisdom's worth is above anything else. The way of wisdom, how to get wisdom, is very, very clear. Again, the Proverbs is clear that anybody that's a believer can have wisdom. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter what family you're in, how popular you are. Anybody can have wisdom, and anybody can grow in wisdom. And that's their choice. That's the great thing about wisdom. But we also saw tonight as we finished that the wreckage of those that do not follow the path of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, as we finish tonight, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. 5 and 6 are very familiar verses, probably many of you memorized as a child. You may be able to quote this along with me. Proverbs chapter 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." But then he says this in verse number 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Hey, I trust that tonight that would be our heartbeat of each one of us here this evening, that we would fear the Lord, we would depart from evil, and say, "Lord, I want to follow the path you have for me. I want wisdom in my life. I want to pursue it." Wisdom's crying out. It's not a matter of that wisdom is a precious mineral that's hard to find in this world. As believers, wisdom's just a prayer away. It's just a knock away on heaven's gates, going to the throne room and saying, "Lord, I just need some wisdom today." Hey, let's take time this week as we think about this to spend some time asking God for wisdom in every practical situation that we're going through. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, it guides us. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, that we have the opportunity as believers to be able to have insight to situations in our life that unbelievers can't have because we have your wisdom, Father. We have your thoughts on the matter. And Father, we want as a church family, we want to think the way that you think. Father, we want to make the decisions that you would make. Lord, we want to love people the way you would. Lord, we want to treat people the way you would. And Father, we need wisdom to do that. Lord, we need to continually come before you to ask for wisdom that we don't cause disunity, we don't cause disruption or anger or hard feelings. And Father, I do pray tonight you'd be with our church family. Help us be a church family of individuals that are living each day, walking in wisdom. Help us to realize the worth. Maybe someone tonight was thinking about the fact they haven't been thinking about the worth of wisdom and the need to pursue it in their life. Father, I pray you'd help them to make that decision to pursue it with all that they have. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.